My name is Josie Farizo. I live in Homestead, Florida, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and the conclusion of our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, titled, Why Bethlehem? This is part 2 of 2.
Funny thing, you go read some of their own sources and they'll tell you that what the King James says is correct. And then that's why you ask, well, why did they change it then? Money, money, money. Apographe is that's transliteration of the Greek word translated there. And we don't go to lexicons for our information, but I'm using their sources to show you that they know what they're doing is wrong. Their lexicon, real quick, says an enrollment or registration in the public records of persons together with their income and property as the basis of a census or valuation, that it might appear how much tax should be levied upon each one. See, the reason for this wasn't to register you, wasn't to do a census, it was to tax. And that's why your King James Bible says taxed, and says in verse 2, and this taxing. And that's why your new versions are corrupt, and they are a ripoff, and you're wasting your money when you buy them. Amen. That's from the Outline of Biblical Usage by Larry Pierce, available at blueletterbible.org. Now, verse 3. Then, having that basis and understanding, read verse 3 with me. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. That's the reason. The Jew enrolled in the Roman census for the purpose of taxation. The purpose. This causes some to say Jesus was born in Bethlehem because of this Roman tax. Well, wrong. And I just want you to understand the perspective there. Was Jesus born in Bethlehem because of this tax? And another matter is some claim we're celebrating the wrong Bethlehem all these years. Did you know that? Israel's other Bethlehem. Have Christians celebrated Jesus' birth in the wrong place all these years? And see, what will happen is that Christians don't learn their Bible and they don't learn these things we're talking about. And so then someone comes along and says, well, there's another Bethlehem. And then they'll say, oh, I didn't know that. And then they'll come to me and say, oh, I didn't know there were two Bethlehems, Pastor Greg. And I'll say, it's because you didn't listen, because I taught it. Amen? That's what's happening.
Well, Isaiah said there's only one Bethlehem.
That's not... What I'm saying is there are two Bethlehems. Oh. And some people say that there is an error in where Christians have been celebrating the birth of Jesus. They've been celebrating the wrong Bethlehem. And the point is, the reason why people think that is because they don't want to learn these things until someone comes and brings it along in front of them and confronts them. And then in their ignorance, they're like, whoa, my mind's blown. You know, why is your mind blown? Because there's a lot of wind in there. Fill the wind with information. Amen? There's Bethlehem of Galilee is what they'll call it because it was near Nazareth. And then there's the Bethlehem near Jerusalem. And you can see on this map here by using that little thing, it's about 100 miles away from each other. And think of Bethlehem down here. And, you know, that confuses people too. Sometimes there's people by the same names. There's cities by the same names. Same thing is happening. You know there's a Moscow in Russia, right?
Right.
There's a Moscow in Ohio.
Right.
There's a hell. Amen? Right? There's also a hell in Michigan.
Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah, Yeah. So that claim that we're celebrating the wrong Bethlehem, what about it? Well, it's wrong. And the reason why we know it's wrong is we're told exactly where this Bethlehem was. Luke 2:4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. And the reason it says up is because Jerusalem and Bethlehem are at a higher elevation. He went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. Not Galilee, Judea. So the Bethlehem they went to is in Judea, unto the city of David, which is the city of David. Bethlehem is near Jerusalem. So that's why we know which Bethlehem. It says, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So why Bethlehem? It wasn't, Jesus didn't go to Bethlehem because he was taxed. He went to Bethlehem because God is in control. And the reason there was a tax, and the reason why the unsaved skeptics and liberals are trying to make you believe that's an error in your Bible, is because God caused this tax to take place so that Joseph would take his family to Bethlehem. You see there? Right at the right time. There was no reason for Mary to give birth in Bethlehem. I know when Charlie and Olivia and Mariah and Stephen and other people, Matt and Lori, we've watched these babies brought into the world over the last few years now, less than 5 years. All of them are 5 and under, aren't they? And they made plans beforehand. They didn't wait till, you know, Olivia didn't say, I'm about to have this baby. And then Charlie's like on his phone, hospital's near me. You know, they had plans. But if God had a reason to want to get Charlie and Olivia to Cleveland to give birth, then God could have caused something to happen that would have got them up to Cleveland. And that's what happened here. I'm sure Joseph and Mary had plans. And then I'm sure the family was like, you're crazy. There's no reason. You can't put Olivia on the back of a donkey and ride 100 miles, Charlie, to Cleveland. Because see, today if Charlie went to Cleveland, be in a nice car, Olivia's car has air conditioning, they would have taken that one. Back then it was to Cleveland on the back of a donkey 9 months pregnant. Now what do you think of that, Olivia? And of course, that's why some people say, this is unrealistic, a pregnant woman on the back of a donkey for 100 miles. Well, first of all, you know, that she might have walked a good part of the way, and that would have been good for her for the birth. Walking that throughout the whole pregnancy, but especially at the end, if you can walk, they say that really helps the birth go along. So the point is how you look at things. If you look at things and you're just always saying that, oh, I'm a victim of circumstance. Oh, I just can't help everything. My life's terrible and it's... Or you can look at things and say, God is in control. When I pray, we've prayed for a job for Janie. Well, if God doesn't want her to have that job, we've prayed that He doesn't give her the job. We've prayed, Thy will be done. Amen? I've actually known some people pray for a house. And I thought, I'm not praying they get that house because I know the terms of what they're getting the house and they're going to get stuck. And I've seen people fight against God. It's like God closes the door. People try to explain to Him why that is a bad loan deal. That bubble burst in 18 months and you're going to be paying $2,200 a month in rent or in mortgage payments. You're not going to be able to deal with it and everything. And they'll do it anyway. And then it blows up and they lose their home. But then there are some people who recognize the handwriting on the wall and say, you know what, Lord, I want that house really bad, but you're showing me this really isn't the thing for me, so I'm just going to have to, you know, settle down and accept what you have for me and Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? So this was all prophesied 700 B.C., around there, back in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, not only is Luke wrong, if Jesus was not born in Bethlehem, the way Luke says, not only is Luke wrong, but the prophets were wrong too. Because they said that the Bethlehem where Jesus would be born is in Judah, not Galilee. And so that's why we have confidence in our Bible and we just ignore the skeptics. And as we closed in our previous study, it's all in God's time. God put them in the place He wanted them at the time that He wanted them. And just one more thing. Removing text, as they do in the new versions, isn't just a thing about Bible versions and that sort of thing. They're destroying an important fact. How many of you heard me in previous studies explain this? The first coming and the second coming similarities. God set the stage for Jesus to come the first time, and He's setting the stage for His second coming. And by removing the word text, they're actually removing one of those similarities that you'll notice. First of all, when Jesus came the first time, there was Roman global governance. In other words, where there was civilized government, Rome was in control. That's going to happen again. And it'll be under the final pope, under Roman governance. There was a universal language. You could go anywhere in the Roman Empire and speak a common language. And today, that language has become English with the additional help of the software where you can speak whatever language and the person hearing you will hear in their language. And they speak in their language and you'll hear it in English. So by whatever means, the same thing is happening in the setting the stage for the second coming that happened the first time. The first time there was a forerunner. And under the spirit of Elijah, I believe Elijah is one of the two witnesses. And he will come as a forerunner. So you see the commonalities? The first time Jesus came, we had four centuries of false Bibles and books. That include, I think you talked about last week, Stephen, the so-called Septuagint. It also includes the false books that we call the Apocrypha. And the Book of Enoch is one of those. Just like you had all those false Bibles and books back then, today you're seeing the same thing. False Bibles and false books put out in the name of God. Only saints saw Jesus at His birth. We're going to see that in our next couple of studies. Only saints will see Jesus at the rapture. But then, when Jesus went public, He faced His enemies. And when Jesus returns at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, it says, every eye will see Him, and He will destroy His enemies. And then the final one is a raiser of taxes. We studied in the book of Daniel, back in Daniel 11:20. Then shall stand up in His estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days He shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And we're seeing the raiser of taxes was basically to confiscate private property. And that's what's happening across the world, and thanks to the Democrat Socialists in this country, to completely take over private property. Socialism. And that's going to be what, when Antichrist takes over, it'll be a socialist world government. But you remove the word taxes, and you remove the whole, one of the, what we say, one of the commonalities between the first and second coming of Jesus. And they're working on the other ones as well. We don't have time to go into all that. And people ask me for recommendations. I got this from page 328 of the book called The Errors in the King James Bible, Errors in Quotes from Peter Ruckman. And if you can get your hands on that book, it handles a lot of these false accusations against the Bible. And it'll be a faith builder. You want to grow in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You better make sure you know you have the right book if you want your faith to grow. God's got this thing under control. Amen? I want to close by reading a chapter we won't get to for a little while. Luke chapter 12. We're going to close by reading verses 22 through 26, if you turn there. Luke 12, 22 through 26. When you get there, let's read together and read the even verses. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And I want to read verse 27, 28. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Read verse 28 with me. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Listen, some of you aren't like me. I have kind of frail health because of bad lungs. And I've been dealing with pleurisy, and I have to deal with chronic bronchitis and all that kind of thing. But most of the people in this room have suffered some what physically. Some of you have suffered an inability. Sometimes maybe you couldn't get a job. You couldn't pay your bills. Maybe you just felt helpless in a situation with a relationship. Maybe you just, there was just hopeless. You just felt, how many of you ever felt hopeless? We all feel hopeless at some time. If not, you're not alive. And yet, I just want to be careful how I say this, but there's no reason to lose faith. There's no reason, but people do. And one of the reasons I believe they do is because they don't take time to learn the Word, to grow spiritually, and they just think, you know, they're strong, and they've maybe never been in a real hopeless situation before. They'll make it. Listen, I say this as your pastor because I love you. Now's the time. Grow in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And have confidence in God now, so that when that thing, that situation, that relationship, whatever it is, when that happens, you can deal with it. And I compare a lot of Christians to someone who decides they want to be a brain surgeon, and they decide to do brain surgery and pick up the textbook the night before. Picking up the textbook the night before and then the next day trying to perform brain surgery isn't going to work. And yet that's what too many Christians are doing in their walk with the Lord. They wait until there's a big event, and then they want to pick up the book, and they want to be a prayer warrior. Drop of a hat, suddenly. We're in a battle. We're in warfare. Go read a book about what it takes to prepare. I don't care what, now or 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, a soldier didn't just run out on the battlefield a day after signing up. And they went through drills and drills and drills. And it wasn't all fun. It wasn't all games. But that's what people want. And because they want that and don't get it, then they close the book and they just kind of, And then the next thing you know, you're faced with something that you can't handle. And I just want to leave you with that. Reading through these prophecies where Jesus was brought into this world. And you can't imagine what Mary and Joseph probably went through during this time. We're reading it with hindsight. Man, they went. That was rough what they went through. And Mary becoming pregnant. And no doubt having the world look on her and think, you know, well, what in the world? Here's this unwed mother pregnant. And Joseph, how he coped with that. And oh, by the way, now we got to travel 100 miles right before you're getting ready to give birth to Bethlehem so we can be taxed. And this is what I'm afraid happens too often. Psalm 94:19 says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Too many Christians are only reading down to the end of the white letters. In the multitude of my thoughts. In the multitude of my thoughts. Go on with the rest. Within me thy comforts delight my soul. You can find comfort for the stresses. You can find comfort for those question marks in life. We don't have the answers for everything. You see Brother Carl laid up like he is. We don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to get better? I don't know. We pray, we ask the Lord for His mercy, but we know that in this life, illness happens, injuries happen. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. So what do? You could drive yourself crazy. Worry, worry, worry. Think, think, think. Or you can have that delight in your soul with God's comforts and His comforts. He comforts us through His Word, by His Spirit, with reading and with prayer, meditation, memorization. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." And you do that before the struggle begins. Don't wait for the struggle to hit you in the face. Amen.
Tell of the cross where they like you mean it.
God of creation, Father of light, ruler of nature, creator of time. O God of Israel, Lord of that land, you are Messiah, Redeemer of man. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in Jesus' name. Blameless in life, paying man's debt by bearing his stripes. You knew no sin, but became sin for us. Shedding your blood, in you will I trust. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. In Jesus' name.
Third verse.
In tune with the rich, killed between thieves, crushing the serpent, setting men free. Death could not hold you, just as you said. My God, the Savior, arose from the dead. Glory to God, glory to God, in Jesus' name. These days are evil, the masses rebel, but heaven will conquer and cast them to hell. Nothing can stop you, death cannot win. My God, the victor is coming again.
Amen.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in Jesus' name.
Acapella.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.